Now to our final topic. Over a three-year period, researchers headed by Catherine Saunders at the University of Ulster have carried out a study of more than 1,000 children aged 6 to 7 and 12 to 13 from different backgrounds and different sectors within Northern Ireland. By finding out how well the children could see, how hyperopic or myopic they were, and by measuring the size and shape of their eyes, the researchers have gathered some important insights. These include the alarming statistic that children there are three times more likely to be hyperopic than children living in other parts of the world. Polly Dully spoke on the phone to Dr. Lisa O'Donoghue to discuss the project, which was funded by the College of Optometrists and is a year into its second phase.
Lisa, could you describe your project to us and tell us a little bit about its aims?
Initially, the project was designed to look at the prevalence of refractive error. There's very little data on the prevalence of refractive error. And in conjunction with the Aston Eye study in England, this was designed to address this issue. A lot of the studies that exist that we rely on for our data really on the prevalence of refractive error are either very old studies like Sorsby's from the 1960s, or they have used protocols that have not adhered to the sort of guidelines given by the World Health Organization in terms of collecting refractive error data in children. For example, it's important to use random sampling and it's important to use cycloplegic refraction as well. And the aims of the study initially were to look at the prevalence of refractive error, specifically the prevalence of myopia, but it mushroomed really beyond that. When we started to collect all this data, we realised we had an awful lot of information on these children and could answer more questions than just simply prevalence.
And what stage are you at in pursuing the study?
Currently, we have finished the original data collection. We've collected data on over 1,000 school children, and that finished in 2008. So we can now answer questions on the prevalence of refractive error in this population in the two age groups. The second wave commenced then about a year ago when we're going out and we're re-examining the children 3 years on from when they were originally examined, and then that can give us some information then on the progression of refractive error as well.
Can you explain your current findings and their significance?
Well, as I said, we have got a whole variety of data, and some of the interesting findings are that in Northern Ireland there's very little evidence to suggest that children are being overprescribed spectacles, which we thought was a very positive story to get out. We also, of some concern to us, was the fact that children, about a quarter of children who wear spectacles don't actually bring them to school, and that was across the two age groups, and it actually applies whether the children came from more socially deprived backgrounds or whether they came from affluent backgrounds. A lot of children aren't actually wearing glasses that they need at school. We also have information then on the prevalence of refractive error, and what's of interest here is that we find the prevalence of both hyperopia and astigmatism to be about three times higher than it is in white children in Australia. And that's obviously of interest because hyperopia, uncorrected hyperopia, is associated with a poor visual outcome, for example, amblyopia and strabismus. And it's also associated then with maybe poor educational attainment as well. Other findings from our study as well are the prevalence of myopia is actually about three times higher here than it is in white children in Australia as well. And that's extremely unusual because generally if you find a population with a high prevalence of myopia, they tend to have a low prevalence of hyperopia, but we actually here have a comparatively high prevalence of both hyperopia and myopia. We looked at using letter acuity in terms of detecting these children with hyperopia and astigmatism, and it's very letter acuity is a poor method of actually picking up these children, and obviously that has then implications for screening programs.
You mentioned the significance of hyperopia and astigmatism in terms of developing amblyopia. Are you measuring amblyopia as part of the study?
In the original study, we did not actually assess amblyopia, but now that we are reviewing the participants 3 years on, the protocol has been amended and we actually are looking at the prevalence of amblyopia as well now. So So we will have that information in the future, but we don't currently have it.
That's great. You said that there's relatively little information on this subject. Are you able to compare your study to other work?
Well, we can compare it with data that's been collected throughout the world, because the protocols that we used are similar to other protocols that have been used worldwide. Comparisons with the UK are difficult because there is such a limited amount of data available to us, but hopefully in the future when we will be able to compare with the results from the ASTANI study. So we will be able to compare with the white population in England as well.
And so do you think that your research has implications for children's vision in the rest of the UK?
I do think it has implications. I think there are points that are likely to go across all the countries within the UK, specifically the fact that children don't wear their glasses even though that they have been prescribed them and they need them. And I think also as well is the fact that letter acuity is such a poor method of detecting refractive error, significant refractive error, and I think that has to be of concern for us across the UK.
And when are you expecting the second phase of your study to be completed?
We hope that the second phase, the data collection for the second phase of the study, will be completed in 2 years. We're about a year into it at the minute.
What are the current eye care provisions for children in Northern Ireland, and how can parents access those?
In Northern Ireland, eye examinations are free for children under the age of 16, in common with the rest of the UK. We also have good orthoptic lead screening in the first year of formal education for children here. However, the children that took part in the current study were not actually 100% sure of what screening they actually had. Parents need to be made aware of the fact of what the screening actually entails. I think there are some problems with parents thinking that the screening is actually more of a full eye examination than it actually is. And it's not maybe, it's designed to detect amblyopia and not actually designed to detect these hyperopia and astigmatism that we have found are quite prevalent here.
And so what implications does your work have for the delivery of services in Northern Ireland?
Because we have such a high prevalence of hyperopia and astigmatism, we need to identify those children early on to have the least impact on their educational attainment and their visual development, well, to have the most positive impact on their visual development. And in ways of doing that, then, I think it's really important for health promotion in terms of children getting their eyes tested to be raised with parents, with teachers. And parents need to be aware of the need to bring their children for a full eye examination at least once.
And are there any barriers stopping these improvements from happening?
I think one of the major barriers is that a lot of parents think that they will know if their child has a significant visual problem. And I think parents need to be told that no, their child can have a significant visual problem and they can be unaware of that. So I think a lot of it is to come down to parental education. And I think as well that there is a misunderstanding of what the school vision screening is actually about and what it's designed to detect. I think there's maybe a misunderstanding that it's designed to screen for refractive error when it's not designed to screen for that.
Absolutely. Lisa, I look forward to hearing the results of the next phase of your study.
Thank you, Polly and Lisa. For more reading on the subject, visit the OQ page.